We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
The sound of the final buzzer means it's hangover time. So grab a drink and join your host, Alphonse Sidney, for a Miami Heat Beat post-game show.
Suns win! Suns win! Yes, this is the Miami Heat Beat post-game show, but for the rest of the finals, we are technically Suns beat. I know there's only one guy, Giancarlo Navas. It's rooting for the Bucks, but
ooh,
fuck him. Fuck him. Listen, we are Suns fans. We're all about Jay Crowder on this show. And listen, I'm going to keep my opening rant short tonight because, listen, all the Suns doing is out here taking care of business. This was another professional win of a team that, I mean, the Bucks are just completely outclassed. Like, let's just call it as it is. Hopefully this is a four-game series so I can take my post-finals break. Me and Brass, you know, we're winded like Jimmy at the end of the finals last year. We are wheezing towards the end. If I had to do one more fucking cutout with a bad accent, I don't know what I'm going to fucking do. But
they're not cutouts. They're actual guests, Alf.
Yeah, yeah. If I have to interview another fucking guest.
Right. What do you
do? I have to issue a mea culpa, if you will. For years, I, along with the rest of Miami Heat Beat, have been repeating a trope, a meme, if you will, a hashtag. We made a whole song about it. But I'm going to admit tonight, live, in front of all tens of you, Devin Booker is better than Justice Winslow. Yeah, I said it. Devin Booker is better than Justice Winslow. I know, guys. I know. I know it's hard to hear from me. It's hard for me to say it. But Devin Booker is a better player than Justice Winslow. Go ahead, bring me out, Brass, because I have to recover from that. From that, you know, it was hard for me to say. We get shit all the time on Twitter for it. And up until today, and it was like the fifth three that Devin Booker hit in Chris Middleton's face. And I finally was like,
Damn.
That motherfucker might be better than Justin. No. He might be a better basketball player than Justice Winslow. It took me a while. It took me a minute. Now, I will say, they would have took Justice out for a defensive possession.
That's a good point.
Might have for offense, bro.
And I was going to say, they wouldn't put him offense. In for an offensive possession.
Yeah, that's right.
Bro, we need a shot. Get your ass out of here. I mean, listen, I am Alphonse Sidney, a.k.a. Alf954. This is the Miami Heat Beat post-game show hangover time. Brass, let's find out what everybody's drinking. To my French compatriot, I think I'm saying this right. Je suis désolé. I'm sorry correctly. I'm sorry I let you down. My man says 6 a.m. here in France. You think your favorite show will have your back? And the minute I arrive, Alf is slandering justice, shaking my head. Je suis désolé. I think I said that right. If I didn't, what the fuck? I failed French class as a Haitian. It's fucking terrible. Right. Moose! Tell me you got some monkey shoulder, monkey booty, monkey kneecap, some kind of bullshit on deck.
I just
want to
say, I almost did this from bed. I'm exhausted, but I gave the people what they want. I got the monkey shoulder right here. I got a glass of vino right here. Shout out to Siobhan. But I'm going to hit the people. I will. A tire drop. I'm gonna get some coffee in a little bit. I gotta be up for work.
Why
in
like
are we 20 washed?
Minutes. What happened?
Oh my god, I'm so tired.
We used to be the
this
young.
This was the
show.
Longest game of the year.
We used to be the young show, fucking 10 years ago.
We drank ourselves out of
we're
it.
We're so. We faced right before the audience's eyes.
Bro, when I started this show, there were no grays in the beard, okay? So that's just,
we had dreams and shit. It was,
oh my God. I had aspirations. I had goals. Now I'm just like, I need an excuse
now we're
to
doing
get drunk on Thursday.
I don't want
to
hear
now
about
we're
your
covering
dreams,
a Suns Bucks game on a Tuesday, on a Thursday.
My fiance had a work happy hour, and she was like, fuck that shit, I don't want to go. I was like, fuck it, let's have our own happy hour. So, yeah, of course, I was drunk by like 7, and then I came home and tried to watch this game. And listen, I enjoyed it because it was a bunch of Thanasis cheering and Giannis.
He got some serious TV time tonight, Thanasis. I felt like they did a whole segment. They called him a cheerleader,
and I was like, oh my God, this is the best night of my life. And we got a lot of this from bits. Giannis.
Still hasn't played a damn minute all series.
Thanasis.
He's played as many minutes, finals minutes, as Justice Winslow.
That he has.
He has. I'm going to say what
played more finals minutes than Thanasis.
I'm going to admit something here. I am drinking Sprite and orange soda.
What?
Yeah. What? It's the most ghetto shit I've ever done in my life. Not the most ghetto shit. Most ghetto shit I've done on this show. Okay, so because I was at happy hour, I didn't have a chance to go get my normal shit. What had happened was I got leftover orange soda from the 4th of July barbecue because there was black people over, so we figured might as well get some orange soda. You can't laugh at that, G or Moose or Brass. So there's orange soda left over, so I'm having Tito's and Sunkiss.
I feel like Keenan and Kel made it so that we can laugh at it.
No,
not
they
that
didn't.
I would.
They
not
didn't.
That I would. Not that I would.
No.
We're all looking at G like, go ahead, laugh, motherfucker.
Go ahead. I bet you won't laugh again.
I bet you won't laugh again. Yeah.
I ain't no sucker.
Tiff, what you drinking tonight?
Man, I'm drinking half hour past bedtime. That's what I'm drinking. When y'all see the blue cup come out, y'all know this is some shit H2O.
Thursday, Tim.
Listen, I got a 6-year-old that still wake up like she going to school.
It's Friday. Yeah. Why do they do that?
That circadian rhythm is a motherfucking.
Because then when it's time to go to school, they don't wake up at 6.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But when it's a day off, they be up early, dressed. Fuck you, dressed for? Eating cereal with syrup in it. Like, man, what are you doing?
Cereal and ice cream.
Like, why are you eating Rocky Road at 5:30? Who told you this was okay?
Alf's like, fuck, you're up. You want some checkers or something? I'm
gonna got my phone ordering Uber. Got my phone ordering Uber Eats and shit. What? Why you have a cheesy gordita crunch? Brassware. So it's like, right. I'm sounding like Bernie Mac. Why you got my phone for? Eating nothing, cheese, you're going to eat the crunches. It's 2:00 in the morning. Get your ass to bed.
Him downstairs, Al.
Him downstairs. Yes. I ain't got no fucking name. Brass, what you drinking tonight?
I made a paper plane, one of my favorite drinks, because the Milwaukee Bucks are about to get on a plane and fly back to Milwaukee for the last time, because this series is up, folks. They're not flying back to Phoenix, so this is it.
It's over.
It's over.
Everything is over.
I hope so, man. Two more. That's it. I'm good. Yeah, yeah. We know they're better. Let's just get it over with.
And are like meme generators. It's like weird hippie white people over there in Arizona. They fucking mass produce memes the way this country mass produces racism and weather. No.
Did you see that one dude with the bandana at the end, like in the
laying on the first table?
First of all, I was like 27 seconds.
That has been my favorite part of this finals. I mean, the games are fun, whatever. But yeah, the crowd shots?
Oh my,
that
listen,
shit is comedy.
I'm in on the AK. Yo, I'm listen, in on the AK.
The crowd shots look like a giant Dave Matthews concert.
Oh my yeah, God, Phoenix yeah, is out of control. They doing some heavy peyote.
Moose is offended at that. Yes.
Well, I was just going to say that, like, yeah, no, it's pretty accurate. I can testify to that.
That crowd going to be looking real fucking quiet the next couple games.
I like that one Heat fan that he was, like, lost. He didn't know where he was.
He stumbled into the arena.
He said like that cocaine. The cocaine is pure. That shit is straight from Mexico.
Right by the border.
You saw that D Wade retweeted Lane.
That's what I was gonna say. I love that D Wade not only retweeted him, but then later in the game I saw him sitting courtside. That's like so he's there. He could go dap up the guy himself. I just thought that was fucking hilarious.
Siobhan, what are you drinking tonight?
Hope
you ain't got no orange soda in your shit.
No, Gentleman's Jack. And we switched it up tonight. We have a Pinot.
Nice.
Mandavi Siobhan's my favorite Siobhan.
You can tell the young people.
She's different, you know. She's different depending on, you know, some to Kendall Siobhan's different, you know, they're all different.
You can tell the young people. Moose and Siobhan double fisted. I'm over here drinking orange soda.
I mean, I gotta respond.
Just out here drinking water. I mean, Brad's made a cocktail. I mean, it's late
right here.
Well, I'm always double fisted with this. I always make a double because I can't get up in the middle of the show and make another. So,
G, what are you drinking tonight?
Absolutely nothing.
You fucking girl, guys.
That's one.
I'm fasting. You don't even have water. I'm fasting. You don't even have water. I actually don't.
Right.
I have nothing. I have nothing.
Just old dry mouth having ass. You better get some water.
You're fasting? Are you trying to hit a goal weight or something?
Listen, Brass and I are going to be at Summer League, and I just want to lose as much weight as I can before my bender in Vegas.
G trying to get some strange in Vegas, and I understand, bro.
I've never been. I'm so excited. I'm there to work, Blue Wire. I'm there to work. I'm there to work.
Yeah,
I'm there to cover basketball. I'm there to cover Casey Alcala and Gabe Vincent Summer League performance.
Bro, me and Christian already have plans to fuck up Summer League next year. Because this shit came on short notice. Now Blue Wire got a fucking studio. Yeah. Me and Christian have already... Yeah, first of all, we all going.
I'm going to be there.
We're going to figure out how to fucking pay for this shit as a group. And we are just coming to fuck shit up. I ain't coming to cover no basketball. I'm not analyzing shit.
Yo, why is Alf that one black person at work? I ain't fucking coming here to work.
I'm taking a party bus to every fucking Summer League game.
Come on.
Just why Alf smell like strippers and fucking cigars? Fuck, because I'm in Vegas.
I mean, yeah, that's the aroma of Vegas. They should sell it as a candle.
I love Vegas. Vegas and New Orleans, my favorite spot. Okay, let's talk about this game a little bit. First of all, I did want to talk about that deer park. What they call that shit? Deer district?
The deer district. Deer park. That's some gross water. That's some disgusting water.
And it's a gross-ass district. That shit, first of all, it's a super spreader event. It's disgusting. It
probably smells bad.
And why are there so many dudes out there with their shirts off? Like,
that place smells like milk. That place smells like milk and cheddar cheese.
Milk, exactly.
I need every man. Like, if you are at an outdoor concert, an outdoor festival, an outdoor viewing of an NBA Finals game, keep your fucking shirt on, bro.
No, yeah, that, nobody, that drives me crazy.
Nobody wants to rub shoulders with your sweaty towel, no, I tell you, bro.
I said it's like buttermilk. It's not. Buttermilk is cultured. There's no fucking culture out there.
Say they out there smelling like poutine.
Yeah. Put your goddamn shirt on, man. Like, what is that? Like, what is that thing that meant, like, oh, it's hot. Nobody wants that, bro. Nobody. No, I don't care. You did push up before you got here. Nobody wants that. But
yeah, even people at the Dave Matthews concert tonight had the shirts on.
Yeah,
they don't want that.
Yeah, they did.
Bro, first of all, half y'all got jerseys on, so your sweaty ass shoulder up, and that's fine. Okay, we'll take that. But then you're going to put your titty in my face. Come on, man. Anyway, one thing I did notice, like Drew and those Bucks fans out there, like it's Coachella. Yeah, because that's all they got. Right? That is the event of the year. Hey, let's all go down to the fucking stadium, stand outside, and take our shirts off and sweat on each other.
That's no 90s party I want to be at.
Yeah, that shit is gross. One thing I did notice, like Drew and Chris Middleton had a bad first half. And I felt like they all reverted to like, oh, let's go back to 2020 when we were super easy to defend. And like, let Giannis handle the ball and let the other team build a wall while we all stand around him. Like, I'm watching them. I'm like, yo, y'all ain't learned shit. Like, let those dudes shoot through their fucking struggles instead of going back to the Giannis.
Yeah.
Because every time that shit happens, it's like, I know the game's over. Right? I'm watching the collapse of the Bucks because they get one dimensional of shit.
That's the coaching.
Yep.
Is that Mutt? No,
I think they're
100%.
They're a couple players short. I think that it's like clear that like Connaughton like cannot survive out there. And I know that he's like was probably their second best player for a lot of that game, but when Connaughton's your second best player, you have bigger problems than your coaching. I mean, their offense just looked constipated, and guys are helping off Tucker, who's not as good a 3-point shooter as he was before.
Gabe and KZ combined for 60
assists. Guys, don't worry about it. Guys, I'll be right next to Gianni. Please don't. I don't want to be
Brass
shirtless.
Brass is manning the count.
I don't want to be shirtless.
He's gonna turn to Brass and be like.
But
he gonna give it to Brass.
But Tiff, he gonna shimmy your Brass in face. Hey,
be like fucking Jim in the office. Ever like
just like that.
Oh, Brass, you need that IG live the entire time. But Tiff, no, I mean
that shit'll get banned.
What if those guys? Because the thing is, like you watch against the Heat. Those ancillary players, the Connaughtons, I'm not going to call Drew and Chris ancillary, but the guys around Giannis, when they start hitting them shots, like that team is dangerous because then it's like, Giannis, you pick your spots. But when Giannis feels like the whole weight of the fucking world on him and he starts doing that shit,
right.
Like it's a wrap. Like do they have to just let Drew and Chris and Connaughton and Brooke work that shit out? Or is it, you know, or is that the answer? Or what, like, what can they do? Because I feel like they're completely outclassed.
Giannis, if they don't pick it up and Giannis goes for 30 each night, they're getting swept. That's one. One is not going to beat five, especially if Chris Paul is on the other end. That's not happening.
Yeah.
They got to put the ball in Drew Holiday's hands and tell Giannis, get your ass in the post.
Yes.
He's handling the ball way too much to not have a move. Dribble, 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 run through you. Dribble, 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 sidestep. That's
why is this on Giannis?
No, it's not his fault.
It's not his fault. But the problem is that guess what? What real players do? All right, you want me to run this play? Okay. We ain't running that. This is what we doing.
I mean, Giannis got the ball, and he's like, fuck y'all, nobody's hitting shots. I'm going to go in the paint every single time.
Yeah, that's the problem. But that's the problem.
When he does that, they become so one-dimensional.
They're just
easy. That was the only time they were scoring. He was 68%. No, it's not.
They started the game. Drew started attacking the basket, and then everyone was like, oh, they look good, which I don't understand why. They
Drew was 7 for 21.
I said to start the game, they were doing other things. They were doing differently than just Giannis dribble, dribble, dribble.
It's like when one person dominates the ball that long, you lose rhythm and you lose confidence.
Everything gets stagnant.
Right. And also, no, I mean, okay, I'll speak for me. When players on my team used to dominate the ball that long, the next shot was a brick. The next shot was a brick. Now I got to go a whole nother 5 minutes, get my lather up again, play hard on defense, and pray to get a foul to get to the line. Yes, that's what happens when you don't touch the ball.
The problem was that was him doing that was a result of these guys not hitting shots, and he was passing out of the spin move a lot and getting guys open threes that they kept missing and missing and missing. But, so, like, I get what you're saying, and I don't disagree with you, but, like, that is, like, this utopian world that just did not exist for them. And when Drew's missing point-blank layups and Middleton can't buy a shot, I don't blame him. I mean, they were at the end. He was the one in that third quarter that kept them alive, and every time he sat, they couldn't do anything because those guys couldn't hit shots.
Here's the thing: I think you're saying that we're blaming Giannis.
No, I know you're not, Giannis. But I don't think like because they were putting Drew in the pick and roll, and Drew was missing layups. He was doing weird. His decision making was totally up his ass. He was like awful today on offense. And I don't really think giving Drew more pick and roll reps was really the solution tonight. It was, we got to get Giannis to get us out of this. And if he's creating for guys, they got to hit open shots. But they weren't hitting open shots. And offensively, they completely fell apart. And the only time they could score was when Giannis was like, okay, I'm getting in the paint. I'm putting my head down and I'm scoring buckets. And that's the only thing that worked.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Moose. I'm sorry.
Well, I was just going to say, like, I understand where G's coming from, but I'm leaning more towards Tiff. My only thing against what Tiff is saying, and I think we're aligned on this, we're not putting the blame on Giannis, but I am putting the blame on Bud. Like, it's, I think that comes down to coaching. He's got to then call a timeout, get in the player's face, be like, yo, you got to keep trusting your guys, keep pushing it back out. How many times did we see Spo go through this exact same shit with LeBron and Wade and all that? Like, it's up to the coaching. At the end of the day, the players are going to keep going back to their natural habits. And Giannis's natural habit at that point is to dominate the ball. And then it's up to the coach to fucking coach that out of him, especially
in those
moments.
I think he had to dominate the ball because those guys weren't playing well.
No, but gee, they will never win anything.
Yeah.
They are.
Those guys got to play better.
But that's the thing. You have to let them keep playing. The problem when Giannis
you can't
gets
let
the ball,
them shoot you out of a game. At bro, some point, you the superstar
you will
has
never
to grab the game.
So you will never win with the way with that. Like you are better off if he scored 42 points and you never even got within more than 8, and it never even felt closer than 8 because all you knew all they could do is go down and get maybe 2.
Holiday took as many shots as Giannis tonight, though.
Look, you lose that game either way. You either let Giannis go for 50, or you at least let the rest of the team get some rhythm, get some timing, get some comfortability, get some, like...
But what do you mean? Like, Holiday had as many field goal attempts as Giannis.
But also, Holiday had 15 of those field goals in the first half.
In the first half,
so let's
right,
stop acting like he shot
and he wasn't. He didn't hit anything.
So
you still attack. You still go north south.
Bro,
you
can't
put pressure on the defense.
They can't win. They cannot win if it's all Giannis.
Yeah.
It's too easy to defend.
No, I agree with that. Mm-hmm. But they were not defending that. Well, Giannis was doing whatever he wanted. That's where I disagree with you. They were scoring whenever he was scoring whenever he wanted.
But the problem is that one will never beat 5.
Exactly.
So
that's true.
The other four,
but those
the
other guys
got to
play better.
No, they got to play better. But as a coach, you got to get your guys in the right position to score. You got to get Chris Middleton some easy buckets. You got to get him a switch with who can't guard Chris Middleton on the Suns. I don't know. Let's just, I don't even fucking know. Whoever can't guard him. You got to get him on that switch, and you got to get Chris Middleton some easy shots. You got to get Drew at least getting to the line. Like, as a coach, you got to start drawing up plays.
But, like, that was the thing. Like, today, like, they specifically were hunting the Booker matchup for him, and he was getting to the spots, and he was just fucking throwing up garbage. And it's like, you get him the matchup that he wants. Their half-court offense was horrible, but he got Booker in space, and that's what he wants. And he's not a guy that's going to create separation, but he's a guy that's a tough shot maker. And, you know, Booker has a little bit of size, but Middleton's bigger, and he was getting the matchup he wanted. I thought they did a good job. I mean, I think if you want to criticize him, I think going small probably wasn't ideal for them because Brook was playing so well. But I'm a Bud hater, I don't really think today was like big on Bud. It was like, bro, when Drew Holiday and Middleton are not going to hit any shots, I don't really understand how you can expect anything when they're like, I thought they were put in the right spots to kind of create, especially Holiday, who was getting downhill and getting the matchups he wanted. So I kind of disagree on that. I get what you guys are saying, but that was a failure of Middleton and Holiday. And I don't even want to put that on Bud or on Giannis.
Real quick, just to back up Tiff. Chris Middleton's second favorite shot in the NBA. Everybody knows it. Right there on the elbow, 15 feet, whatever. It gets him going. I didn't see that called once for him tonight. And I may be wrong on that, but I did not see him ever curl and get to his spot for the easy basket to get a rhythm going.
He was missing.
But that's the thing is like, I understand where you're coming from, G. Like Giannis did what the fuck. Giannis took over for his struggling ass team.
Yeah.
And I don't blame Giannis for a second. Giannis did what a guy is supposed to do when he's just like, nobody else is helping me. Let me do what I have to do. I'm putting this on Coach Bud. And I'm also putting it on Chris and Drew. And maybe those motherfuckers are not, sidekicks to win you a championship. Like, maybe they're just not those guys. You're not that guy, pal. Fez says too much G FaceTime on the show. But I appreciate G's perspective because I think the rest of us are all in accord.
And I think some of what G is saying is accurate.
No, I just play better.
Just lean more
they
towards it.
They have to play better.
But the thing is, you don't take the ball out of your point guard's hands.
And you can't allow yourself to get the ball taken out your hands.
But see, and that's one of my... That's my little problem with Drew Holiday a little bit.
But remember what I said last time. It's all gravy when he's the one doing the pushing and the pulling. But CP3 been getting in their ass. And when you get into Drew Holiday's ass, he retreats.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's the one caveat about him. He retreats.
He
has been in this series. Yeah.
Those layups are looking short. I'm like, what's going on? Maybe he's hurt. I don't fucking know. But
too late now.
And then Chris fading like Chris always fades. But
who he is.
Yeah. Listen, you gave up a lot of first round picks for Drew Holiday to miss fucking layups.
Alf, I think this can loop back to the Heat, and it's like kind of remember when Holiday was available and everyone was like, we really need Holiday, and I was like one of the only people that's like, I'm not so sure about this because X, Y, and Z. And it's like, yeah, sometimes the guys you don't get, like CP or Westbrook, they look really good when they leave. But then sometimes, you got guys like Holiday where you give up a bunch of stuff and now you're stuck with this dude who you're just like, wow.
And
I still would have took him.
But because we never thought it was going to be that price. Like that.
Yes. You would have given up. You would have given up that much.
Right.
No,
No.
We didn't know the price was like when they gave up all that shit. It was like,
right. Yeah,
they overpaid. They overpaid.
It's like when you're looking at some shit on eBay. Like I'm a cop that, and then you see on the motherfucker page. You're like, oh shit, I don't want that shit. Like it wasn't that good. Yeah. Like listen.
But you take the price tag off it and you tell me, do I want it? Fuck yes.
Yeah. I want a whole lot of shit.
I'll take it.
Listen,
Drew Holiday was like that. Never mind.
I'm out here looking for real estate. You know what I'm saying? The house looks nice. Then you tell me what it costs. Get the fuck out of here. Before we move forward, we've been missing this for a while. Very excited to bring it back. Now that we can focus on one game at a time. It is the return, the triumphant return.
Oh my goodness!
Listen, come on. This is this is a fan favorite of Bond's breakdown.
Woo! Oh, hold on, hold up. Let me break it down so it can forever and consistently be broke.
Listen, next season that them shorts is leaving. So we are Suns beat.
Shoot a new one.
Yes, we're Suns beat now. So I have a few plays from the Suns. A couple offensive, couple defensive. Go ahead, Bryce. So pause. So at this point, in the first 4 minutes of the game, Drew had been guarding Chris, and they were fighting over the screens. He was fighting over the screens a lot. So a little background story. Go ahead, Bryce. So PJ's on him, comes back up, that high ball screen, pause. PJ allowed him to get closer than Drew was letting him get with you know, minimal amount of work. Hands down, Chris is too smart for that. Giannis was playing half-ass defense. Brooke has to, you know, keep an eye on DeAndre over there in the dunker spot. Shout out to them. So yeah, and then this is what happened. They were having a tough time getting these types of looks the first four, you know, minutes of the game because Drew was being so disruptive up top. Come back down. Go ahead, next one. We're coming down here. So pause. So now it's campaign. Cameron Payne has the ball. It's not Chris. So how do they play it here? Go ahead. Pause. Jay screened. Bring it back for me one time, Bryce. I'm sorry. Jay ends up screening the dude that's guarding Cam. DeAndre screens Jay's guy. Pause. They just got beat by a slipping action. You would think that they would, you know, be kind of looking out for some slipping action, but instead, you know, they're trapping Cam up here when they were fighting over top on Chris. That, you know, opens up a different type of lane. Go ahead. DeAndre is a great roller. He delays his roll. Him rolling made them have to, you know, kind of stunt. Cam or whoever that was on the side, you know, popped up.
Question, Shamar, do you think that was a trap on Payne or Bobby Portis is just a bad defender?
So it could be both. Like it wasn't a good trap. Like it was a half-assed trap. And so it looks like, you know, just bad defense. That's a flop.
yeah.
But like, why do you trap Payne here?
Justice would never.
Pause. Exactly. I don't know. I don't know why you do.
They were doing it like trapping all night. It was weird.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the start of the game. If you weren't trapping Chris that high, why are you trapping Cameron Payne that high?
Right?
I saw HP basketball tweet. It's like when you trap Payne, you just make, he's not a good playmaker. You make that initial trigger so much easier for him.
You do, because he doesn't have but one or two options to go to. He doesn't have to think about it.
But, and they know it's coming.
That was
either
a dunk for eight. That was a dunk for eight or a three. Like there was, like
right,
they made
because
that
you trapped
so
Cameron
easy.
Payne. Go ahead, Bryce.
Yeah.
Yeah, but fuck HP basketball anyway.
these next two are a couple of defense. They go to this their zone. Pause. So this starts as kind of like an amorphous 2-3, a 1-2-2 type situation. Jay is following Chris through. Chris doesn't go all the way through. He kind of cycles back around. Pat Connaughton in the corner flashes up. Go ahead. Pause. So.
Why does Giannis not roll to the basket there? I don't understand.
I don't know. Jay comes and plays up top. I like what Monty is doing because they have Giannis on the side. Giannis carries, you know, a big presence, but it's easier to account for his weight when he's playing on the side. Typically, you would want to have your zone balanced, and they could do that by having Devin take Chris and everyone bumping back. They have a few times during this sequence to balance their zone. I think they don't purposely. Go ahead, Brass. Pause. Like, it is kind of balanced here, but it's still, I don't know, but it's still accounting for Giannis over here in the corner. They're not doing anything. There's no motion. Go ahead, Brass.
Look at that.
That deep.
No one cuts.
No motion, no one cuts. Chris doesn't even like pop down to get into some space to take a more open shot. No movement. And then last one, they get a little bit more movement because they now put Giannis Pauls in the middle of the zone. The middle is the weakest part of the zone, but you have to be a good decision maker. You have to know your reads. Your people need to make, you know, your passes easier. Whoever this is, five, should kind of come down a little bit because I don't know if Giannis can really see him in his line of sight. Do it in the corner is okay. Go ahead. But when you have his weight in the middle, it shrinks the court because you have to pinch from both sides, or you just kind of put yourself in another unbalanced situation. I like what the Suns did. I like what they've been doing all season. And I really, really like the way that DeAndre Ayton rolls to the basket. His delay opens up a lot of stuff.
The possession you showed where it went to the Giannis ISO. It's like if I'm a defender in that situation, I'm just breathing this whole sigh of relief.
You're getting once your reps.
Once Giannis backs up and I start seeing him get, I'm like, okay, all right. You know, like, listen, because it takes all the pressure off. Yes, there's a lot of pressure when Giannis with the ball in his hand driving is pressure. But Giannis without the ball in his hand, rim running is a whole lot more pressure, in my opinion. Like, just Giannis by himself, like, listen, he's going to get his, but, you know, are you giving up the corner three? You know, it's just, I feel like it's just so much easier to defend. Like, I mean, the Heat gave you the blueprint for that. And it's just, when the ball movement stops, when the ball gets out of Drew's hands, or, you know, Jeff Teague was handling the ball a lot for some reason. I didn't understand what that was all about. But I just feel like they become a one-dimensional team. And, I mean, the ball's stagnant. And it's really easy to defend them. But we did – Carla Tiana says, thank you, Siobhan. Yes, we missed that. We missed that kind of insight. We've been relying heavily on jokes. Because I'm not good at analyzing basketball.
Shout out to Jay Jock for extending their tier one sub till December, and also for gifting a sub to Norza. We appreciate that kind of support.
Nice.
Go ahead, Moose.
Ah, fuck. All right. Hold on a second. Hold on.
Tire drop.
Jesus, Moose. Try not to look so miserable when you do this.
You don't want time with a drip. I think I just woke up the entire building.
Yeah, that'll be all right.
Alf, before we move off the game, can I give a shout out to something that happened in the game today?
Yes, go ahead.
So I've made fun of Lopez a lot and like his goofy ass drop, but I thought today, and credit to Bud for this too, like, they really did a good adjustment of bringing Brook higher up to the level of the screen. They trusted him. He did not look out of his depth. Was really kind of recovering well, getting back on the on-ball guy, making sure that he covered the roller who was Ayton. And I thought just did an exceptional job of getting up high to the screen, contesting, kind of eating up space, doing all that stuff that you need. Motherfucker. He was good, man. He was good. And then
that's not my dog.
I thought the Phoenix counter to that was interesting, and it's great coaching by Monty, where they're like, oh, you're gonna bring Lopez up to the level. So they would set the screen like 3 feet back from the 3-point line. I hate this guy. You're giving prime analysis, man.
You are
prime. What is that? I'm not as cool as Siobhan, I get it. But yeah, I thought that was cool.
Fuck Brooke Lopez. He's just on Whiteside with an annual pass to Disney.
Oh, gee, that was amazing. Thank you.
Good morning. Yeah.
Thank you.
What are we drinking? Some espresso, I hope.
Thank you for that. That was an amazing breakdown of Brooke Lopez.
You needed it to get through the next bit of show.
I'm sorry. It was actually very good basketball analysis.
Yeah.
But holy shit, when Moose is about to fall asleep, 45 seconds on Brooke Lopez's drop scheme. Wow.
I feel like all week. I've been bullied all week. Whether it's liking Young Jeezy, I get bullied in our group chat, or complaining about soccer. Jeezy. Listen, I've been bullied on.
That's, yeah. I mean,
we're it's okay.
Okay, let's get to something. Let's get back to our roots here. All right, we fucked Suns beat for a minute. Let's get back to Heat beat Hangover Time. This is what we do. Fucking right.
I was gonna do, as soon as he said,
can I give somebody a shout out or whatever? I was like, yeah, go ahead, G. And I was gonna remove him immediately. But yeah.
I was so funny.
Me and Brad, the fucked up thing is, Brad, we would have done it.
We would have brought him back in by accident.
Exactly.
We want to go in because there's been a lot of talk in the timeline. All of a sudden, I've become the biggest Kyle Lowry fan in the world. And honestly, I'm just a big common sense fan. Kyle Lowry's fine. I'm just like, what common sense says, the best point guard out there, and the Heat need a point guard. So what we want to do tonight is, this was Tiff's idea, we want to give you guys our top five off-season point guard acquisitions for the Heat.
But they're in reason. Like,
within reason.
Right.
No Dame fucking Lillard.
Important.
Oh. How many reasons? Just
five reasons.
Okay. But thank you for saying that, though, because, you know, I wanted to make sure that was clear before the list was unveiled.
Yeah, like, realistic shit. Realistic shit. No Dame. We're not talking Dame, Kawhi, Luka offseason because, okay, come on. We live in reality.
So I'll start. First one, Magic, okay? I want Magic Johnson.
I'd rather have Steph.
Oh, is Steph available? Shit, let's go. Okay, Brass.
Anybody's unhappy if you try hard enough.
These are my top five. All right, so number five, Mike Conley. I put him at number five because I didn't realize Malcolm Brogdon was a choice.
That's four, too.
Oh, you didn't?
Bucket, yeah, exactly. If Malcolm Brogdon was a choice, Mike Conley would not be on this list at all.
He is a choice.
And I like Mike Conley a lot, but listen, that motherfucker has not been healthy since the Reagan administration. Number four, Lonzo Ball. I love Lonzo's passing. I love his point of attack defense. I love his playmaking ability, but I don't like the fact that he is not a scorer. And for a team that's shitty on offense, the point guard needs to be able to score and needs to be able to shoot. So number three, Brass. Spencer Dinwiddie. Great defender. I don't think people give him his prop for his defensive prowess.
Who?
What's that?
You say what now?
I said Spencer Dinwiddie.
I know. What'd you say after that?
He's a great defender. I'm telling you. Look at his defensive rating.
I'm telling you.
He's not that. He's a good defender. He led that shitty Nets team full of Caris LeVert and other dudes to a decent record. I think Spencer Dinwiddie is a good, cheap option. So go ahead, number two. Colin Sexton. I like Colin a lot. I don't want him to be a point guard, but if that's the best you're going to do, if you miss out on my number one option, Colin Sexton, to me, is one of the biggest names, the biggest pickups that they can have this offseason. And number one, as everyone knows, it's Kyle Lowry. Would be the best guard defender on the Heat. Would be the best point guard, hands down, on the Heat. Might be the best scorer on the Heat if he came to this team. So everybody telling me that he's not worth $25 million. First of all, I don't know what you guys think good point guards are fucking worth. Because y'all be on some nut shit talking about, $25 million is too much to pay for fucking starting point guard? Like, get the fuck out of here. What are we doing? And listen, we played this game that he's too old. We did it with Russell Westbrook. We did it with fucking John Wall. And then we did it with Chris Paul. Like, let's stop, because the next thing you know, the Heat are going to go into another season without a true point guard because everyone's talking about this motherfucker's too old, this motherfucker wants too much money. The Heat need a point guard. The best point guard on the market is Kyle Lowry. Bring me out, Brass, or bring up the next person.
We'll go on to the next one. All right, we got Tiff coming up next.
Don't take as long as I did. Shit, I'm sorry.
Right. Seriously.
I mean, shit, I was about to fall asleep. Goddamn.
All right. So if we miss out on everybody and that's including Alf if he don't want to sign, then I'll take Colin Sexton at number 5 as my point guard. Because he's not a point guard.
Okay.
Number 4, I got Spencer Dinwiddie. No need to even talk about it. Number 3.
He has 3 D's in his last name. I'm
great
saying.
Defender.
So he does. He's got a little D in his game.
He got D-boy. A little D.
Little D. Three little D's.
Crazy.
Number 3, I got Lonzo Ball. If you can't score, play defense.
Listen.
Number 2, I got Kyle Lowry. He can box out. He can box out. And number 1,
box.
He's so stupid.
And number 1, I got Malcolm Brogdon. No, nothing needs to be said. Y'all already know.
All right. Okay. Next up, we got Moose.
I'm excited for this, mainly because I forgot who I put at 5. Brass hit me.
Well, this one's interesting because for 5, you fucking cheated and you put 2 of them.
Yes, oh,
you dipshit.
Okay. Yeah. Well, no, here's the thing. So I want Brogdon because he's the better player, but I want Spencer Dinwiddie just because I still don't understand cryptocurrency. I need someone to break it down. I know he That's had fair. Something to do with it. So it's more of like an educational thing. But yes, for the Heat, Brogdon.
He also
Number
likes anime.
4.
Oh, God. Take
get
him off.
Get him off the list. Get him off the list. Number 4, Mike Conley. I love Mike Conley. I've always think he's been an underrated point guard. I think he does all the things that the Miami Heat need, except for stay healthy. That's why he's at 4. Next. Lonzo Ball. Lonzo Ball for me. By the way, 1, 2, and 3 for me. Pick them. Any one of those 3 and I'll be happy.
I feel like Lonzo everyone's Ball, had Lonzo at 3.
Lonzo Ball defense.
Wouldn't I have 4? I can't remember.
Yeah, well, you get him at you get killer defense, and I think he's the best natural point guard of any of these options.
He can't score. I'm sorry.
I don't give a shit. He can pass the ball, and he can make Bam a better player.
He scored better this season than he has in the past.
And I actually, I do believe that he's fixing his shot. I really do.
Passes the ball to a bunch of guys who can't score on the Heat. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Moose.
Number 2. The man, the myth, the legend, Kyle Lowry. This is a win now move. This will satisfy Jimmy. It'll satisfy Bam. I think it's an easy move for everyone. It makes a ton of sense. And God, number 1.
He's talking about satisfying himself. This is not good.
Number 1, I am all about Sexton. Love this guy. Is he a point guard? I don't know. But he has the highest upside out of any of them. And if you're telling me we can get Colin Sexton right now at this age, I think in our system, you're looking at a potential superstar for the next couple of years.
Oh, superstar.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
I think he has that type of potential.
Wow. Damn. Moose put his name on that motherfucker. Mm-hmm. There we go.
You signed that tweet.
Blow our load on that trade. All right, coming up next.
All right. Here we go. I guess I'm going to shake the table a little bit. Start it up, Brass. At 5, I get it, you know, I like Kyle, I get why everyone else likes Kyle, he's fine, yeah, he can box out,
he's thick.
I will definitely take him, but come on, oatmeal, but I just don't, you know, he's not, he doesn't move me. I'll take him, I'll take any of these 5, but Kyle is my 5th, go ahead. 4, I like Colin, he's a little frantic. I don't think he's a point guard. I do think he has good upsides, but I don't want him as my starting point guard if I can have one of the other 4, but I would take it. 3, I like Malcolm Brogdon. I really like his size. I like the way that he plays the game. I like his the way that he carries himself while he plays the game. Go ahead. 2, I really enjoy Lonzo. He is young. He's talented. You can't teach vision. He has great touch on his passes. He has become a better scorer. He puts great stress on defenses. I really, really like Lonzo. And he's a great defender. I think he would do really well in the Heat system. He's tough. He's tough-minded. I enjoy him. And number 1, I really, really like Spencer Dinwiddie. He, I think, might be you can go him or Kyle, I guess, is the better scorer of the bunch. I like what he brings. I like the way that he handles himself on the floor, too. I like his toughness. And so, yeah, that's my five.
Yo, somebody said, where is Kendrick? Not a cent, none.
Listen.
This is our top five.
You know, somebody asked me, like somebody, a friend of mine who does another podcast messaged me asking me, like, so, like, what do you think they, like, he's asking me, like, what the Heat free agency, and then at the end he's like, ah, they probably just keep Kendrick, right? I'm
absolutely not.
All right, G, you ready for your picks?
I am. I'm a little excited. So,
bro,
I
think... Wait. Cal AU says, you guys going to be real upset when we trade for Bledsoe. Hell motherfucking yes, we will. I'd rather Isaiah Thomas. And I'm talking about the old Isaiah Thomas.
Old Isaiah Thomas. A long time ago.
The FIU coach.
I like the short Isaiah Thomas.
Over Bledsoe, yes.
All right, so I think I'm going to surprise people with my fifth pick. I think people thought he might be higher. But it's Kyle Lowry. I think as a defender, you know, he provides a lot at the point of attack. I think it's one of their biggest needs. And, you know, I'm a big fan of his, but yeah. Mm-hmm. At number four, Kyle Lowry again. He's a guy that's really going to shoot the ball for you. When he comes off that dribble handoff, he's going to be able to trigger off the handoff, either going to the rim, shooting the ball. And as I said earlier, can play some point of attack defense. Really, really helpful. All right, Brass, hit me up for number three. You guessed it. Kyle Lowry. I think his in-between game is going to be really important for the Heat. I think they don't have a lot of guys that can get to that kind of floater, can get to that little, like, mid-range area. You know, Jimmy can do it some, but they don't really have a guy that can kind of do it consistently. So he's legit like a three-level threat, shooting, getting to the mid-range, getting the free throw line, and getting that floater. All right, Brad, send me up with number two. You guessed it. Kyle motherfucking Lowry. The Heat have a rebounding deficiency right now, as some people have iron deficiencies, and Kyle is going to really help them in that respect. He's good at boxing out, as everybody's mentioned, good rebounding guard. Push and go, I think that's going to help that their offense as well. Like, when you have a guy that can rebound the ball and push, get into early offense, I think that's going to help you a ton.
Dylan.
All right. Yes. Moment you've all been waiting for. Hit me with that number
ready
one,
for this?
Brad. Yeah.
Who's this going to be?
Whoa! Holy shit, G.
He owes us money. He owes us, like,
I hate you so
$60 million. He owes us a Dwayne Wade. He better get his ass back here and give us everything that this fucking guy took from us. He owes us, like, a week of Dion games for whatever he did. He owes us a lot of things, and money included. So he better come back and do that.
Shocker, man. Yeah. Holy shit.
What the hell?
All right, fuck. All right. God damn it.
But I really want Kyle Lowry. I mean, come on, get real, guys. I mean, he's a Hall of Fame point guard. He's my favorite basketball player. I mean, he's Jimmy's fucking BFF. He's going to help Bam. You know, he's going to help everybody. The leadership, think of the leadership. He's a take charge guy, loves to take charge. It's too perfect. I've set it up.
Jay Jock says, someone we can finally get behind.
Hey. Hey.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at IPVanish.com/audio.